Welcome to Food is Not a Four-Letter Word, the podcast where you ditch the diet drama, banish body shame, and reclaim your life, all while creating a body you love. When it comes to body drama, your host, Carmela Ramalia, has been there, done that, has the t-shirt, and wrote the books. And now, here's Carmela.
Hello, hello, everyone. It is me, Carmela, from Happy Calories Don't Count, and we are back with episode 10 of the Food is Not a Four-Letter Word podcast. And so let's get started with our three deep breaths, shall we? So take a deep breath with me. Here we go. Take a deep breath in and let it out. And another one. Take a deep breath in and out. And last one, deep breath and exhale. So that's the fun little thing I started doing last episode. I decided that, you know, we just needed to start these podcasts with three deep breaths, just, you know, so I can ground myself and we can kind of ground to each other, both modeling, you know, how I can be more effective at communicating when I ground my energy into my body. This is all about becoming embodied, right? And the best way, the fastest way, the easiest way actually to become embodied is to simply take a deep breath. And I definitely need to do that for this episode, because this episode is all things eating disorders, and I want you to listen to it even if you don't have an eating disorder. So right now, even if you don't have, never had, don't know anyone who has had an eating disorder, I want you to listen to this episode. It's very important. And I'm not really sure what I'm going to call it yet. I was just talking to a friend earlier, and she really wanted me to do one that says, "It's not your friggin' fault." You know, you need to have an episode called "It's Not Your Friggin' Fault." So that might be the title of this one, or I might wax philosophical on that topic for a different episode. But she speaks truth. Your weight, your body drama, whether it is an eating disorder or not, is not your fault. Your healing, however, is your responsibility. And this is something that I am very passionate about. And even though I took my three deep breaths, I am probably likely going to go full Carmela. I am probably likely going to go up an octave or two in my voice. And I might say some things that piss you off. When I say that, when I speak what I speak about all of this, and I call you out, I am never calling you as a person out. I am never speaking ill of you as a person. I am never blaming. I am never shaming you as a person. I get it. I get the pain. I get the confusion. I get the frustration. I get the hopelessness. I get all of it. And what pisses me off and what I am going to call out are the mindsets, whether it is an internal mindset that you are dealing with or whether it is a group culture mindset that is keeping you stuck and keeping you in pain. And so I just need you to know right now, you might get upset at something that I say, and I might not say things very eloquently, especially when I get really upset, which is why I need to ground and take three deep breaths. But this is what we're going to talk about. And the reason that I really want you to listen to this episode, even if you don't quote unquote have an eating disorder, is because there are two parts of an eating disorder. The body image movement out of Australia claims that 90% of women hate their bodies. So if you are even listening to this podcast, there is a chance that either currently in this moment or in the past, you have not felt good in your body and you have not felt good about your body. And that is what I fix. That is what I heal. That is my job. My entire job is to help you feel good in your body and about your body, to optimize your health, vitality, well-being, beauty, and joy so that you can just live your most audacious, brilliant, full-out self unapologetically and live the best life you can live. That's my whole goal. And so for a long time, I've been teaching this stuff over a decade, and it's only been in the last couple of years that I have even like addressed the eating disorder piece even a little bit. I had written briefly about it in the first chapter of Happy Calories Don't Count, Neither Does Unhappy Exercise, which is my first book. And then I thought, you know, I have to write about it so that then you understand the framework that I'm operating from. And then you'll understand why I say what I say. You know, based on my personal history, based on my experience, you might understand why what I say makes sense and why what I say is relevant. But that was the only, that was it. It was like, oh, I never have to speak about it again. And I'm finding that that's not true. And I'm particularly finding that it's not true because there is so much misinformation and there's so much drama. Here I go already. I'm getting on my soapbox. I can feel it about eating disorders that I just think is BS. All right. So you got to understand that I was in a pilot program for anorexia. So just in case this is the first episode you ever hear and you know nothing else about me, I was hospitalized for anorexia when I was 17. I was 80 pounds. By the time I was 25, I was in treatment 4 more times. So that's a total of 5 stints in an eating disorder treatment center. Okay. Yeah. Why would I? So it begs the question, why are you in treatment 5 times? Now, if you are taking a step back and you're just going to blame the victim, you know, like pop culture psychology, like they say, oh, he's been in rehab 6 times, or he's a drug addict, or he's an alcoholic, and he just doesn't want to get better. Well, on one hand, that's true. The personal transformation, the desire, the motivation to get better has to come from within the person. But for the person to actually get the help, once they've reached that point of internal motivation and desire for transformation, they actually have to have a process that works. And I don't know, I'll be honest, I do not know what eating disorder treatments are like right now in the 21st century. I hope that they are better. But based on what I'm seeing in social media, I really doubt that they are. And so by 25, I'd had 5 treatment stints for an eating disorder. Yet at 30, I ended up 200 pounds and I was suicidal. So I really have a really healthy disrespect for how eating disorders are viewed, how they are treated, a lot of just the pop culture psychology around them, and a lot of what I see gets perpetuated in social media through things like body image movements, body positivity movements, and the eating disorder recovery communities, and all these little groups and things that I see on Instagram, on Facebook, and all of these other places. So I definitely have a point of view, and my point of view definitely comes with a backbone. And my PhD in this is from the School of Hard Knocks. So listen up, folks. This is the talk we're going to have. This is the conversation we're going to have. You can tell right now from the tone of my voice, this is take no prisoners, no holds barred kind of thing. All right. The reason that I really get upset with some of the stuff I see on social media. I remember being a 17-year-old girl and being in the hospital. And this medical expert on eating disorders, told my mother in front of me, she's never going to get better. She's always going to have to deal with this. This is a lifelong condition. And I remember, you know, just like, who the F are you? And why would you be telling, why would you be telling my mother this? And you don't even know me. So that's just a side note that ticked me off. But that is a flat out lie. That is a flat out lie. you can completely recover from an eating disorder if you understand what you're dealing with. All right. Now, when I speak emphatically and when I get on my high horse and I go into my little character voices, which I am prone to do, again, it is never a slam to you personally. Again, it's a slam to the thought systems. But you also need to understand that I am never going to claim that I know what you individually are really thinking inside. I am never going to claim to know what you individually are really feeling inside, physically or emotionally. And I'm never going to claim that I know what you personally feel and believe spiritually. Only you know that. I'm not going to stand out here and get on my soapbox and claim that I know you better than you know yourself. Why I do get to get on the soapbox is because I have danced with the devil, and I know that devil. And so I know how that is going to influence what you might be thinking, feeling, and believing, even though I don't claim that I do know what you personally are thinking, feeling, and believing. So there's that piece. The first, and I think I already said this at the beginning of the episode, I can't remember, but this is not your fault, but the healing is your responsibility. All right. And I get really ticked off when I see a lot of people just get whiny and mopey about how, oh my goodness, recovery is so hard and all of this, because that's just a bunch of BS you've been fed. It's twofold. One, it's crap you've been fed. But another thing, it's coming out of this society that is, and I'm going to sound like an old Xer, and I'm sorry if I'm offending any millennials or younger generations, but like this sort of entitlement idea that you don't get to get triggered, that the world is supposed to revolve around you. No, the world does not revolve around you. You're going to be in situations where you get triggered, and your responsibility is to heal yourself so that you can exist free and happy and be super and awesome regardless of what's going on around you. And so I see these little pockets, these little communities where they embrace victimhood and they perpetuate the sense of victimhood. And that is not empowerment. And you are never going to heal if you are coming from that perspective. Now, the other reason I wanted, or maybe I'll get back to this first reason I told you, when I'm speaking stream of conscious, I might go down a tangent and down a rabbit hole and forget where I was speaking. The reason why I want you to listen to this, even if you don't quote unquote have an eating disorder, is because you are probably dealing with part of what someone would diagnose as an eating disorder. There are two pieces to an eating disorder. One piece, a smaller subset of the population experiences. But the second piece, according to the body image movement, 90% of the population experiences. So this episode is very important for you to listen to, because even if you don't have an eating disorder, you can benefit from the healing that I'm going to offer if you're part of that second group, if you're part of that 90%. So the first piece of an eating disorder is that piece where you are acting out in a dysfunctional way to hurt yourself. So this is a result of a personality type that, you know, you just are, you know, mostly generally you're a type A person, but not always, but it's a personality type that has been given. It's a perfect storm. It's a perfect storm of personality, of childhood family of origin dynamics, of childhood trauma, of all sorts of different influences and factors create the personality and create the dysfunction and create the trauma that makes you want to hurt yourself. That's the first piece. Now, a lot of people have that. And a lot of people will use drugs, or they will use alcohol, or they will use shopping, or they will use sex, or they will use gambling, or they will use food to hurt themselves. That piece is maladaptive. That piece is awful. And that piece, you need to heal. You need to get professional psychiatric help. You need to get emotional support. You need to get spiritual help. Whatever your type of getting help is you need to heal that. Because as long as that exists, I can heal the other piece. That second piece of the eating disorder, that is my wheelhouse. I am just like so good at that. That like I take someone, I take them from diet drama land, happy calories world. Life is awesome. I'm a rock star at that piece. I can totally change your life with that piece. But if you have not healed that first piece, even if I change your life so that your food is a non-issue and your body's the way you want it to be and all of this stuff, if you haven't healed that first piece about how you want to hurt yourself, then you're just going to go to drugs or alcohol or, you know, one-night stands or whatever it is. That piece needs to get healed. The problem, and one of the reasons that eating disorders are so hard to overcome, is that people conflate the piece about you wanting to hurt yourself with the doing it with the food piece. So they make it about the food, but it's not about the food. And then what happens is they think they're being all smart and they think that they're really helping you with your mommy issues and your daddy issues, because they think that if they do that, then you'll want to eat right. And then you won't want to hurt yourself with the food. And then somehow you're just going to quote unquote do a diet and exercise program right. Because essentially what every eating disorder treatment center, treatment coach, facility, anyone dealing with eating disorders, trying to solve that dysfunction, they are still operating from within the base fundamental framework of the diet and exercise model. So it doesn't matter if you actually heal that piece and you don't want to hurt yourself anymore, you're left hanging because you don't know what to do with food. You don't know how to deal with the food and the exercise. That's still always the bugaboo. And that's the piece that I heal. That's the piece that we transform, and you're now a rock star. But you do have to get rid of the piece about you trying to hurt yourself. All right. Now, not everybody has that piece, but lots and lots and lots of other people have this piece about, oh my goodness, eating, not eating. How much do I eat? How much do I not eat? Exercise, not exercise, body bashing workouts, body shaming, body blaming, all of that drama. A lot of people have that. And that is just diet drama land. That's just diet drama land. And we heal diet drama land by ditching the diet and exercise model and embracing a model of alignment where you recognize that is not the food that is doing it is not the food that is by definition affecting your weight. It is not the exercise or the combination of food and exercise that is by definition affecting your weight. It is your food, your exercise, your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, the totality of who you are, and if you are reconciled or not, and if you can have the energy of life force flowing through you effectively and powerfully or not. All of those factors contribute to your weight, contribute to your shape, contribute to your health, your vitality, your state of being, your joy. You are a complex system. There are lots of moving pieces and parts, and you understand that it's not just diet and exercise, or it's not just healing and doing all of the personal growth stuff so that then you can do a diet and exercise program, right? So you can stick to your diet. It's not that, okay? So we come to Happy Calories World. That's how you heal the eating disorder. That's how you heal all of the pain and shame and drama. That's how you heal that piece of it, whether it is you're coming out of the realm of actually trying to hurt yourself and you've healed that piece, or you're working on healing that piece, or it is just you're just some other of the 70%, 80%, 90% of women in the world that live in diet drama land. It's the same answer to heal that piece of the eating disorder. So I hope this makes sense. All right. That there are two pieces of an eating disorder. One comes from that maladaptive dysfunction that needs professional help, that needs to be healed and transformed. But the second piece of a quote-unquote eating disorder is just diet drama land. So it doesn't matter if you quote-unquote have an eating disorder or not. It's the diet drama land piece that needs to be healed. And that's what Happy Calories does. It heals that. So just to wax philosophical about how people can just have such crazy thoughts about all of this stuff, and especially with labels. You know, I get real riled up. And one of the reasons that I didn't want to discuss my quote unquote eating disorder for so long is because it comes with labels, and labels have people think about all the baggage that's associated with it and things like that. So like right now, there is a quote unquote eating disorder for people who want to eat too healthy. And I know because I have friends that are vegan, friends that are trying to do the whole food plant-based thing for health. You know, they're trying to prevent cancer and things like that. They follow certain medical professionals. One is a guy named Dr. Greger, who is a medical doctor who advocates a whole food plant-based diet. Now, I'm using this as an example. In Happy Calories world, you eat whatever you want. So I'm not saying that Dr. Greger is like the Happy Calories guy. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that Dr. Greger says eat whole foods, eat plant-based foods. And he has a whole list of foods that he just, you know, tells people not to eat. So if you're following one of those diets, you're super, super, super healthy. And if you're super, super, super healthy, but you're eating one of those, following one of those diets, there's a whole classification for eating disorders for people who eat too healthy. So, it's interesting because I was at a time when I was in therapy and I've been in therapy, you know, on and off my entire life, all that stuff. I started when I was 15 because, you know, eating disorder, hello. But it's interesting how that label will shape how people view you and how people, it influences how people view how you eat. Because I remember at a certain point in time, I was, you know, dealing with being a 20-something, you know, just trying to deal with life and trying to deal with my own self-hatred and my own lack of self-esteem and, you know, all of that stuff that you have to deal with if you're healing an eating disorder. But I was trying to deal with that at a time when I worked a crazy retail job that my hours were all over the place, and I was acting full time. I was doing plays full time. So I would go to the theater, and I'd be at the theater from, you know, like 7 at night until like maybe 1 in the morning sometimes. And then I'd have to get up, and then I'd go to work really early. And so my schedule was so crazy that I did not eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I had, you know, a snack here. I might have a snack there. Oh my goodness. I ate something at 11:30 at night, you know? And so I had a therapist try to tell me that I had an eating disorder because I didn't have 3 squares a day. Now, in today's current diet and exercise climate, you know, of course we would kind of think that that's silly because there's this whole way of eating that they promote, eat lots of little mini meals all day long so that you never actually get hungry. And then that's going to boost your metabolism. And then that's going to, you know, help you lose weight and all of that kind of stuff. But the way people view an eating disorder, it's kind of like, well, what is disordered eating actually, you know? And the people that eating disorder advocacy groups, like they get on companies' backs. Like there was this Yoplait commercial many years ago where the commercial was the girl standing in front of a refrigerator, opening it up, and she was deciding what she was going to eat. And the commercial was her inner dialogue about how, like, if she had 6 carrot sticks, then, you know, maybe she would only have to walk, you know, 2 miles to make up for that. Or, but she could have if she had a piece of cake, then it would cost. Her inner dialogue was expressing the drama of the diet and exercise model. And the Eating Disorders Advocacy Association group, whatever, had Yoplait pull that commercial claiming that it was going to create eating disorders, when all that commercial was doing was actually illustrate was to expose the internal dialogue of diet drama land. And I, you know, personally, that's a good thing because it's showing us how crazy all of that stuff is. And, you know, so you think about someone who's like a pilot, and a pilot or a surgeon. A surgeon's going to go into surgery and they're going to have some 12-hour surgery, and they can't stop in the middle of those 12 hours and eat. Do they have an eating disorder? What about, you know, a first responder, a fireman or a policeman who goes rushing into a situation that, you know, takes 8 hours to deal with, and they're not eating. Do they have an eating disorder? And we look at that and we say, of course not. That's ridiculous. But the whole idea about what is an eating disorder, and am I being abstinent, and am I following my food plan, and you know, all of the dysfunction comes from the fact that the eating disorders healing, the eating disorder recovery communities, that they don't know, they don't understand that there are two pieces of it, and they don't understand that they're trying to heal an eating disorder from within the context of the diet and exercise model. And because they are trying to do that, they cannot truly heal any of the stuff around food or exercise. And then people get caught into this loop and they stay crazy. And then it's like, even if you have healed your mommy issues and your daddy issues, then you stay crazy about the food, or it's always a bugaboo on your back. And this is true if you've not had an eating disorder, if you're just someone who's grown up in the current cultural climate that, you know, the Yoplait ad was reflecting back to us. You know, we really have these mental gymnastics that go on in our heads because we have these beliefs that the food and the exercise, by definition, result in our body's weight and shape. And we live in a transaction-based model that we only get so much to eat, that there's a price to pay to eat, and that price is exercise or weight gain. That is the thing that creates the dysfunction. When you understand that that is false, when you understand that that is a lie, when you understand that that is not true, when you take the sledgehammer to that idea and the entire house of cards falls, then you can develop a relationship with your body. Then you can hear the wisdom and the guidance coming from your body. Then you can eat whatever you want, whenever you want, because your body is leading the way. Now, I have to point out right now, this whole happy calories don't count thing, it is not happy calories don't count thing. It is not a permission slip to eat food you think is bad for you. And it is not a permission slip to engage in maladaptive behavior. What happy calories don't count does is it shows you that the transaction-based model of diet and exercise is false. It gives you permission to reject that model so that you can embrace your body as your partner in relationship. Because you've rejected the diet and exercise model, happy calories gives you the permission, the space, and the grace to connect with your body and follow its guidance. So I hope all of that made sense, right? It was like a buckle up, buttercup kind of podcast. Oh, and here, I never even got to the stuff on Instagram that drives me crazy. Again, it speaks to mindsets. It speaks to these underlying ideas about like, what are you really thinking of? Let me see this. There was somebody on one of my Instagram channels, because, you know, I post the stuff. I post the links to the podcast. I post my happy little thoughts, like act from inspiration, not from desperation, or, you know, acceptance isn't giving up wanting what you want. You know, all the little Carmelisms and all the little happy calories isms I post on my social media channels. And I'm guessing it's just the hashtags that I'm using now. But I'm getting these posts from like, we are an eating disorder rights organization, and I think you'd be a good fit. And I'm like, an eating disorder rights organization? Like, what does that even mean? Why do people with eating disorders need rights? They don't eat. People with eating disorders have no fewer rights than anybody else. Now, I know nothing about this organization. And again, if this is an organization and this is the culture that's trying to like make it safe, make all these places safe spaces, and no, you can't trigger me, and no, all of that crap. Yes, I'm going to call it crap because it's disempowering you. The world is not fair. Life is not fair. Being empowered comes from understanding that and developing the mental, spiritual, and emotional, psychological musculature that you can take life on life's terms and you can still be a rock star. You can still feel good in your body. You can still feel good about your body. It does not matter what they serve you at that particular event, whether it's on your meal plan or not. You can choose to eat it or not. You can choose to do whatever supports the highest and best good in the relationship with your body, regardless of what life throws at you, regardless of what the circumstances are. That is empowerment. And so when I start to see this stuff on social media about like, oh my goodness, I'm triggered. This is me. I'm a person in recovery for 15 years now. And if you don't like it, then stay out of my safe space. And oh, I'm going to trigger you. I told you character voices, and I am never knocking you personally. I understand the pain. I get it. I get on this high horse because it is that mindset that is going to keep you stuck. And I do not want you stuck. I know the hell. I know the devil. And I am here to help you find your way to peace and freedom. And those mindsets are things that are going to keep you stuck.
Eating disorders.
Again, that was a
are not about the food
kind of podcast.
And the healing is not about the food.
I think I'm done ranting.
Nothing is about the food. All right, people?
You know, if I get a lot of hate mail or something, all of that comes from that fundamental diet and exercise mindset. And so an eating disorder is developed from within the diet and exercise mindset. And people are trying to heal eating disorders from within the context of a diet and exercise mindset. And even if you don't have an eating disorder, you get sucked into diet drama land from the culture in which we live, which is fundamentally based on the diet and exercise mindset. And then when you heal that, when you learn to reject that, you can come to a different fundamental framework, a framework where you can develop a relationship with your body, trust the wisdom and guidance, the impulses coming from your body, and you can create sustainable and enjoyable, and let me say it again, sustainable health, vitality, well-being, beauty, and joy. Whether you had, remember that's past tense, whether you had an eating disorder or not, because eating disorders are completely healable. You can be recovered. You can be recovered. An eating disorder can be past tense. You can be completely recovered, be free of any drama, be free of any anxiety. You can just live your life, and food and exercise are a non-issue. And you can live your life. And what do any of us really want, whether you've been diagnosed with an eating disorder or not? Ultimately, what we really want is we want to be able to eat whatever we want, whenever we want, work out whenever we want, however we want, have all of this stuff be a non-issue and not have to worry about it, not have to worry that we're going to get fat, not have to worry, you know, whatever, that just know that our bodies are our bodies and we'll still look good. You know, it's okay to want to be pretty. It's okay to want to look good. So an eating disorder comes from that place of dysfunction where you're trying to hurt yourself, and then it gets conflated with all of the diet drama land stuff. So you've got to heal that piece that needs the professional, the therapy, the spiritual work that's going to heal that piece so that you no longer want to hurt yourself. Because, sorry, I love you. That's messed up. Like, don't want to hurt yourself. There's no reason for you to want to hurt yourself. So you heal that piece, and then you still have to deal with the food piece. And the way to deal with the food piece is to leave diet drama land and make your way to happy calories world. So that, my friends, is the thesis, the dissertation on eating disorders. And I will see you in the next episode. All right. Have a great day. Bye. If you enjoyed this program, help it out. Give it a like, subscribe, follow, share. You know the drill. If you want to learn more about me, my books, programs, and services, visit my website, CarmelaRamalia.com. And don't worry, if you can't spell my name, you can also always find me at HappyCalories.com. Take care.